Let's begin. Last week we discussed the relationship between Achila and Hana, especially for the Rambam, but according to some other Rishonim as well. We'll be picking up with that theme as we go forward in the Perek as well. But before that, we have one other topic. And that's the next couple of lines of the Gemara. And it seems like every two lines is a topic. It is. That makes it a Perek. So the Mishnah says that in the Mishnah here on Chafalef Manal, which we keep going back to, Kol Shal Shemuta Lecho Machil Lebehem Alechaya Ul Ofos. As long as you can eat chametz, you can feed it to animals. Mochel Enachri, sell it to an Andrew. Mutar Bahanah. So you're permitted to derive pleasure therefrom. This is Chafalef Manal, the Mishnah. But Ovar Zmano Osor Bahanah Oso. Once the time passes and you're not allowed to eat it, so then it's prohibited to derive pleasure from it as well. That's the Mishnah. And then Loyasik Votana Vikirayim, you can't use chametz as fuel to burn either. That's the Mishnah. So Alachat Achat, the Gemara is zeroing in on every word practically in this Mishnah and deriving all sorts of interesting lessons from it. So we're up to the part of Avar Zmano also Bahana also. We spent a lot of time on Charko because that's a very important issue, but now we're up to Avar Zmano also Bahana also. This is six lines down from the top of the page on Chapalafon Bay. So the Gemara says Pshita, isn't that obvious that once it's Avar Zmano also Bahana also, if you're not allowed to derive pleasure, then you're not allowed to derive pleasure. I mean, what's the point of a tautology? It's not adding any information, any benefit, to tell us what we already know. That's what the Gemara's problem is. So the Gemara says Pshita. The Gemara answers Lo Tzricha L'Sho'os D'Rabbanan. That we're talking about a situation of Sho'os D'Rabbanan, which we'll explain in just a moment. And it's based on the principle of Gidol, Omar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Omar Rav Yochanan, Omar Gidol Omar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Omar Rav Yochanan, Omar Kaddish B'Shei Shos Olamala, Afilu Chitei Kur Denaisa, Ein Choshashin LeKiddushin. Okay, what does this mean? So basically what the Gemara is saying is as follows. The Mishnah wants to teach us that even if the Isur Hanah is only Durabanan, it's not Doraisa, but nonetheless, it has the impact of an Isur Hanah Doraisa. And this is the same ruling as Rabbi Yochanan, who said that a Mekadesh, the Chitei Kordonaisa, that if you're Mekadesh with Chitei Kordonaisa, B'Shashishis, that Ein Choshishin the Kiddushin, that you don't have to worry about such a Kiddushin. What that means, briefly, we'll just examine it more thoroughly in just a moment, is let's say something is Asur Bahanah Minat Torah. So of course, it's obvious that you cannot use it. I shouldn't say it's so obvious, but it's clear that you cannot use it for Kiddushin. At the Mishnah, says in Kiddushin, we have it here on our sheets, but the Mishnah says the third entry in the new sheets, the one that's saying Makoros Binyan Makadosh Pechite Kordanaisa and Koshan the Kiddushin, the third entry is a Mishnah in Kiddushin, Daf Nun Vavomid Beis, which says on Makadosh Ba'orla, but if you try to get married and instead of giving a ring, you give some orla. It can happen. Kalaya Karen, Shorah Niskal, Egla Rufa, Tzipori Metzora, Sayar Nazir, Petar Chamor, Basa Becholov, Kilin Shindishtu Bazara. All these are cases of Isurei Hana, seemingly. So if you're Mekadish, be Isurei Hana. In other words, Talamacha is Eina Mikudeshes. The Kiddushin's on Chav. Why? Presumably, because you have to give mamon or kesef or shamapruta for kiddushin, that's what we would think. We'll see in a moment whether this is the only reason or the primary reason, or whether there isn't also another reason. But since you have to give value in the context of kiddushin, so if I give the isha yisurei hana, then I haven't given value, and consequently, the kiddushin is not chal. Not chal means not only can they not live together as husband and wife? That's l'chumra. But even l'kula. I mean, what would happen if pashta yada b'kibla kiddushin me'acher? Let's say 10 minutes later, she got a better offer, right? And she decided to marry someone else, right? So now the question is, this is in the other direction. The question is, shouldn't we at least be machmir Maybe the condition that she received from the first fellow is binding, at least require a get from the first fellow? The answer is, Ein choshen kiddushin, ein mekudeshes. The kiddushin with the surana is completely ineffective, and there's no reason for her to be receiving a get. If she wants to get married to someone else, she can do so. That's the din in the Mishnah. The chiddush of chitei kordonais of our Gemara is what the Isur Hanah, not the Raisa, it's only Drabbanan. We'll have to analyze why this should be true, but the simple reading of the Gemara, Mekadosh Bechitei Kordonaisa, B'Shalshishas Ein Choshesh in the Kiddushin, means that even though Min HaTorah, right, the object that she's being given is Shama Pruta, it's Mutter, Ma'ana, so on a purely Daraisa level, the Kiddushin should be Chal, but nonetheless, we're being told that if Yisriyana Drabanan, even though it's only Drabanan, Ein Choshin LeKiddushin. Now, Ein Choshin LeKiddushin has the connotation of Kula and Chumra. Ein Choshin means you don't have to worry about it, meaning you don't even need a get. It's Pashta Yadav Kibla Kiddushin Me'acher, without a get, that would be proper. But that's not such an obvious thing. It's one thing. What's that? Okay. So good. That might be an answer. But still not so obvious. Kadash Moshe of Yisrael is a very nice nusach that we say, you know, Ariat Mukadash Asli Kadash Moshe of Yisrael. It's not so obvious that just because we say that if something is Asur Midrabanan, that it has the effect of undermining a Din D'oraisa. You might be right. In fact, Rashi says what you're saying. Rashi not here, but Rashi on Zayin or Beis in the parallel Gemara actually says what you're saying. But that's not such an obvious thing at all. And you'll see in a moment that some of the Rishonim disagree. It's a very fundamental question. So this is the question. According to the Gemara, what the Mishnah is telling us is that Isur Hanot Chanet, which is Asur V'Hanah Midrabanan, right, is treated like Chanet, which is Asur V'Hanah Midaraisa. And that's not obvious at all. We need to understand that better. But that's what the chiddush is. Okay. So to understand this a little bit better, let's just go to the background. This Gemara appears earlier in the Masechta, on Dav Zayin Amud Beis. I'm sorry, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, let's start with Vav Amud Beis. Just for a minute, a very famous discussion in the Gemara. So let's go, let's start with that. Gemara here on Vav Amud Beis, we'll read it quickly at the two dots. It's about a quarter of the way up from the bottom. Rav Yehuda, two dots. Rav Yehuda, Rav Habodek Tzarech Sheivata. This is the big question. You do Bidikas Chametz, right? So why do you also have to do Bitul Chametz? After the Bidika, we always do Bitul. Right, we pronounce the formula of the bittul. What do you need the bittul for? You just did a bedika. Ah. So it's really fascinating Gemara. So the Gemara says, "My time. Why do we need bedika? Why do we need, in addition to the bedika, why do we need bittul? Inem mishum pirurin, because of those little crumbs, you know, that can escape detection in the context of bedika. You're going to find the big things. Not necessarily going to find every crumb. So for the crumbs that you miss." You'll do a bittul. The Gemara says, "Ha lo chashivi." The perurim don't require bittul because they're not a davar chashuv, and you won't violate by Rabbi Matzei on perurim. This is a secret that we try to suppress. This Gemara, anyway. The chitei makivan the minta luhu aga beisei chashivi. This is really an interesting point. The Gemara says, "How do you know?" Now, no one's denying that perurim, little crumbs, are enam chashuvim. Per se. Question is whether al pidin, halachically, we treat them as chashuvim for the following reason. Right? You don't want somebody coming into your home, you know, collecting perurim. Right? You don't mind giving up the perurim, but you don't want people invading your privacy. So these perurim are nishmarim aga vese. It's a fascinating question, right? How do you look at the davar chashuv? Is something, or shamor, right? Is something shamor or chashuv intrinsically by virtue of its own status, right? Or can something be chashuv or shamur, and you might be mechalik between chashuv and shamur, agav something else. Right? Per se, it's meaningless. If this were outside or at your doorstep, you wouldn't care. You know, when you put out the, you know, the recycling, you don't care if somebody, you know, wants, if somebody wants to make a couple of nickels and he comes and he you know, takes the things out. So, you know, zenen evizol chaser, it's not, pirurim you don't care about. But because the pirurim are in your house, so they're nishmar, and maybe they're also chashuv, agav, they say. That's what the Gemara is wondering about. So the Gemara says, oh, if this is true, so let's test this in other areas of halacha. That's what the Gemara does, right? So where else does Dover Chashuv or Dover Shamor play a role? So the Gemara says, Hatanya, the Braisa, Sufei Te'enim, right? Umishamer Sadehu, Mipnei Anavim, Sufei Anavim, Umishamer Sadehu, Mipnei Mikshos, Umipnei Bedalos, Bizman Shavalabai Smak Bedaleim Atsurin, Mishum Gezel, Bechayavin Bemaiser, Bizman Shein Balabai Smak Bedaleim, Mutar Mishum Gezel, Uptur Mishum Maiser. What if you have a couple of, you know, leftover dates, or a couple in a vineyard, or you have a couple of leftover, you know, straggly, you know, grapes in a field of Te'enim, right, or something else. So basically, you don't care about the remnant of the grapes or the remnant of the dates, but what you do care about is the crop that presently is important and is valuable. So you have a shomer, right? And you don't want people just traipsing in on your property and grabbing the leftover grapes, because, you know, then that exposes and makes vulnerable the rest of your, you know, property, including the valuable crops that you want to be off-limits to everybody else. So here's exactly the situation. You have something which in its own right is eno chashuv, but agav shmira, something else, right, is chashuv. There's a kapeda that people not invade your property, and that extends to the perurim, or the equivalent of perurim, agav beise. So the Brisa says that when it comes to two issues, number one, if they were to come and take it, would it be gezel or not? You don't care about the anavim, you don't care about the teinim, but they're nishmarim or chashuvim, agav, the rest. Is there gezel? A. B. What about a chiyuv, trumos, umaitros? The rule is that if something is hefker, right, it has to be meshumar, a davar nishmar. That's one of the conditions for a chiyuv, trumos, umaitros. If it's not nishmar, then it is patur min ha maitros. So the Braisa says, something which is shamur or nishmar, agav, something else, is not subject to gezel, and is not subject to the chiyuv trumas maitros. In other words, it's considered to be eno chashuv, unless it's a kpeda, unless the bala bais is bagbe. So if that's true, then the perurim of chametz, agav, even agav, they say, are not considered to be shmurim, or nishmarim, or chashuvim, and therefore, why do you have to make bittul on pirurim? Pirurim are nothing. That's the line of thinking of the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says, so indeed, why do you need bittul on top of bedika? Amarava gzera shemi matzei gluska yafe bedaite I lavei. The problem is, let's say you find later, not pirurim, but a gluska yafe, right, a juicy piece. So the Gemara says, "Chinish kakasla labatle." What's the big deal? You have to do bittul at the end of bedika. Do bittul once you find the gluska yafe. As far as you know, there are no gluska yafes that are, you know, that escaped your bedika. You did a good bedika. If you happen to encounter gluska yafe and you're worried about the fact that it's daite, right, alay, so then you'll do bittul at that point. Ah, so the Gemara says, Dilma mishkaka slay the basari sura v'lad b'shusei kaima. The problem is, maybe he'll find this gluska yafe after chametz is already asur v'ana, And once it's also by, no, it's too late to do bittul. A very important Gemara. The Gemara says, why? Because lav birshusei kaima. It's not considered to be birshuso anymore. Meaning, isuri anah, it's a very important Gemara. All the rishas, you have to be very, very careful. This is a huge discussion in Rishonim, and later the Achronim. What is the problem? What is the status of isuri anah? Is isuri anah, we know you're not allowed to use it. Does that affect its ownership, its title? Right? Or the ability to transact with it. This is partially our topic. Right? Is it just also bahana? Or by virtue of the fact that it's also bahana, you lose part of your title, ownership. You're allowed to steal somebody else's. Let's say I own something, and now it became Yisuriana. Are you allowed to steal it? Actually, it seems to be a machlokas between the Ravid and the Ritva. Famous Ravid Ritva in Sukkah, third parak. Right, the Mishnah, the Gemara there says that Esrog, Shal Orla, and you know Kilai Karim, those kind of things are cannot be used for the Dalad Minim. And the Gemara discusses because they learn Hetzar Achila or so on. The question is, what do they mean by that? So the Ravid takes the position that Isuri Ana are not Lachem. You can never have, it says Lachem Lachem B'Yom Rishon for Arba Minim. You cannot have Lachem on Isuri Ana. That's the position of the Ravid. And the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says, just because something is Yisuri Anah doesn't mean you're allowed to, somebody is allowed to come and steal it from you. It's yours. Not only that, he says, Sochem. You can't use it for other reasons, because for the Dalad Minim, you need something which is has a Heter Achila, which has a Din Mamon. But this is a big debate. We already discussed the question earlier in the year. We'll come back to it again in a second. The famous argument between the Rambam and the Ramban on a different point. Right, the Rambam says, we've seen this a few times, that the reason you don't get Malkus on Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, let's say you leave Chametz in your Rishus. Right, so you violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. Why not get Malkus? Right, so the Gemara says, because Slava Nitabase. The Rambam, for some reason, that's a big issue, the Rambam doesn't quote that to Gemara. Instead, he says the reason is because Lav She'ein Bo Maitzeh. Right? Because you're just leaving it in your rishos, you're not doing anything. So it says lepikach. Therefore, if he were to create chametz of Pesach, or he were to acquire by kind of chametz of Pesach, then he would violate with a maisa, and he would have to incur the onesh of Balkis. That's the Rambam. So the Ramban, in the beginning of Pesachim, says, I don't understand the Rambam at all. Bishlomo, if he makes chametz, then I understand. But buying chametz of Pesach is going to incur Malkis. You can't buy chametz on Pesach, it's asur b'anah. And there's no zechia b'isuri anah. So it's an interesting argument. Now we'll see in a second, maybe the Rambam thinks that chametz is different for the reasons of the next line of the Gemara. But this is all part of a big, big issue. I think it's Gemara Merubah and other places where we've discussed this question, whether isuri anah is ownership or not. Yeah.
I think the difference from what the use of is Esrog. Is that an Isur Gavra or an Isur
Chaster? Very good. So we're going to get to that also. Yeah. So again, if you think, the more you think it's a kind of an Isur Chaster, it makes more sense that you can't own it, you can't transact with it. If it's an Isur Gavra, it just means you're not allowed to use it. But it doesn't mean it hasn't changed, only your relationship to it has changed. Maybe that's not enough to dislodge your ownership. So we'll get to that in a second. Your question is very important. You could also clearly understand that you might be mechalik between Yisuri Anah Daraisa and Yisuri Anah Drabana, and that's part of Chitei Kordanaisa issue. Meaning, even if you feel that Yisuri Anah Daraisa, the object itself is Yisuri Anah, right? It could be that Yisuri Anah Drabanan is just an Isagavra. You're not allowed to use it, but it itself is what it always was. And that's why Mekadosh Chitei Kordanaisa Ain Choshen the Kiddushin is such a big Kiddush, and we need to understand it better. Yeah.
So, don't you have to machalik between Hefker and Yisuri Anah? I mean, you're sort of bridging the two.
What do you mean Hefker? Who's talking about Hefker?
Well, if you have no ownership, if there's no bialis in something that's Yisuri Anah.
Well, that doesn't make it Hefker. I mean, you may not be able to acquire it. Hefker is something at least you can acquire. Right? You don't own it, but somebody else could own it. Right. I mean, they are different, but they're just they're they share something in common. If you think that Yisra Noah doesn't have ownership, they share something in common. Hefker doesn't have ownership because the ownership was relinquished. Yisra Noah doesn't have ownership if it doesn't have ownership, not because the ownership was relinquished, but because in its nature, assuming it's kind of an Yisra Chatza, it's not nitan l'bayis, it's just, there's nothing you can do with it, and therefore it's not, it doesn't lend itself to ownership. No one else can own it either. Right? So there's an overlap. There's not an identity, but there's an overlap, one might say. Okay. Anyways, it gets more exciting, even. So the Gemara says, so that's the problem. The problem is, okay, how did we get into all this? If you find a Gluska Yafa, and it's after Zman Isuro, after Tosur Bana, the Gemara is saying you can't do Bittel, because Bittel is a transaction. Right? So the Gemara said, Amar, what's this based on? The Amar, Rav Elazar, now it gets more exciting. Shnei Dvar Menem, B'shusha Shaladim, B'asana Kosef, Kilu B'shusha. Rav Elazar said, there are two things that the Torah imputed as if it's in your Rishus, even though in theory it shouldn't be. Be'eluhem, Bor B'shusha Rabim, the Chametz, Misheshos, Ula Mala. Now this is a very exciting, very famous line, and a very exciting line. Of course, what does it mean? Right. I mean, in both cases, what does it mean? Does it mean the same in both? Right? So put it this way. There are three questions. What does it mean in Bor? What does it mean in Chametz? Those are two questions. And does it have to necessarily mean the same in Bor and in Chametz? That's the third question. What do I mean? Just very, very briefly. It's too famous and too important not to say anything about it. But take Bor B'Shusha Rabim for a moment. Right? So would you characterize Bor B'Shusha Rabim as Davar She'eno B'Shusha Shal Adam V'Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shusha? It's tricky. Right? We just read Parshas Mishpatim. Right? Ki Yichra Ish Bor. What's the issue? Let's say somebody digs a pit in B'Shusha Rabim, in the public domain. Bor B'Shusha Rabim. So what's the Gemara, what's Rav Elazar saying? It's Eino B'Shusha Shel Adam. He doesn't own it. He doesn't own the public property. It's in the middle of, what is it, Queens Boulevard or 188th Street, I guess. You know, speak to the people, you know, where they live. So 188th Street, or Union Turnpike, right? It was part of Queens. Union Turnpike. You know, a few years ago we could have said Lefferts Boulevard. But in the middle of, you know, the public street, somebody digs a bore. Does he own the bore?
No.
Clearly not. But so what do we say when we say Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shusha? I mean, if somebody falls into the bore and you dug it, you're a chayiv. But there are still two ways to explain it. Right? One way is that in order, one perspective is, like the other Avos Nezikin, right? You have to be an owner. You have to own the shore. You have to own the, you have to own the bore. But you don't own necessarily own the bore. So that's what it means, even though bailus is a prerequisite for achrayus, for chiyuv, right? The Torah ki'ilu imputes that you own it. Since you dug it, you own it in that respect. Well, except that it's niske mamon, really, because you... Adam HaMazik is if I damage him directly, right? But this is Niske Mamon. But the point is, Niske Mamon usually is Niske Mamon no, something that he owns. So that's what it means. The Chiddush is Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shusha. Or, the other way to understand Bor B'Shusha Rabim is, if I go out in the middle of 188th Street or Union Turnpike, wherever it is, and I build a bore, the Torah doesn't pretend that it's my bore. What they're saying is, you don't need to be the Bala bore. And it's very meduyak in Parshas Mishpatim. Right? Parshas Mishpatim speaks about Shoro, you know, and so on, but it's Kiyichra Ish Bor. There it's, as the Rav used to say, the unique thing about Bor, according to many Rishonim, is Dafka, that the Yitziras Hamazik, not the act of Hezek, which is Mechayiv. Just, of course, if I create the Mazik and the Mazik never has any impact, there's nothing to pay for. But when you pay, if somebody falls in the bore, you don't pay because he fell in the bore. You pay because you created the bore. So it's an issue of achrayus, of responsibility, not of bailus. The pashtus, it's not that, that when I say kilo, sort of cost of kilo per shoe, so we don't mean that the Torah treats you as an owner. What we really mean is that when it comes to bor, you don't need ownership. Responsibility is sufficient. So these are two perspectives on bor. Not everybody agrees. Similarly, what's the other one? Chametz v'pesach. What do we mean by that? What we mean is, well, the chametz is also b'hana. If it's also b'hana, how can you violate b'ayor b'ayimatzeh? B'ayor b'ayimatzeh means that you have to be the owner. Right? But you can't be the owner because at that point, chametz is also b'hana. So, asah, not kasuv, ki'ilu, hu b'rishuso. But once again, there are different ways to explain this. So one way to explain it is to say, like we just said, the last thing we said in Bor, which is, we don't really mean that it's us on the cost of Ki'ilu Bershusa. What we mean is, you don't need ownership. What we're saying is, let's say you took the general view of the right. Yisuri no, not Mochet. So then you really have a serious problem. How can you violate Bayor by Matzah if you don't own it anymore? The answer is, Rotsa V'Ki'umo, the fact is that you did own it, and you never turned your back on it. And maybe you don't need to own it in order to violate Ba'yirah. All you need to violate Ba'yirah is that you used to be the owner and you never officially turned your back on it. It was Rotsa B'Kiyumo. Somebody else who's Rotsa B'Kiyumo for somebody else's chametz, that doesn't, that's not Mitzurah fan. But the chametz that you used to own, that you are still interested in, even though you don't own it, you don't need Ba'yirah. That would be parallel to what we said. Or no, maybe the idea really is, right, let's go the other way. Let's say you hold like the Ritva, who says that bailus is not a prerequisite for, bailus is not negated by Yisuri Anah. You're saying it's also Anah. You're not allowed to go and steal it from the owner. He's still the owner. So why can't you violate by Rabbi Matzah? Ah, maybe that's good for what Rabbi Lazar meant. Rabbi Lazar said, Shnei Dvar, Meinu B'Shusa Shalom. You would think Yisuri Anah is Meinu B'Shusa. Right, but Asan Akosov Kilo Bershusa, you should know that he is the Bailin. Or is Chametz it's more it's trickier. Or maybe is Chametz different than other Yisuri Anah? Is there a difference between Chametz and Basa B'Chalav? Maybe that's what we mean by this statement. Or another question: do we mean that you're the full owner, Linyan Ba'yira, or do we mean that you're the owner only in order to violate Ba'yira? Getting back to the Rambam and Ramban, man, I mentioned before. The Rambam said, if you buy Chametz on Pesach, you violate Ba'yirah. The Ramban said, you can't buy Chametz on Pesach. It's also Ba'anah. So some of the Achronim say, what is the Rambam going to answer to that question? Oh, the Rambam will just quote Rabbi Lazar. What do you mean? Shnei Dvar Menim B'Shusha Shalada, Masana Kasa Kila B'Shusha. Bor B'Shusha Rabbim, the Chametz on Pesach. Chametz on Pesach is a special din. What will the Ramban say to that? The Ramban will say no. What the Torah meant was, even though you don't own it, Rotsa B'Kiyumo, you violate. Or, you own it, but only as far as being able to violate. You don't own it in Choshen Mishpat terms. If you used to be the owner and you didn't turn your back on it, then either that's sufficient to make you obligated or violate, or that's even sufficient, right, to continue the ownership legabe or leinyan the Easter. But to initiate a new kinyan of something which you didn't own before Pesach, right, maybe that's not what Rabbi Lazar said. Maybe that's cool for the argument between the Rambam and the Ramban.
Can we say boy bavastachas, bailus and the Easter, boy bavastachas?
Well, it's a little tricky to say that here, because here the Easter, right, is only dependent on the bailus. It's a little tricky. We'll get to a point of Asachas in another example in a couple of minutes. We get the Chidei Kordanais. Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand with the comments. How do you used to own it?
Well, you did own it until Shasi Suriana.
But when did you lose the ownership?
When the Torah imposed Suriana, you didn't do anything. And so you didn't sell it. You didn't earn after it. You own chametz.
Right.
It's the pride of your possession. Whatever. Right? And then all of a sudden, boom, the clock strikes 12.
So you took no positive action to make this a little.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're saying that you, we're saying there's a certain conundrum here. On the one hand, it's Yisurana, the Torah imposes Yisurana, and that would seem to establish that you don't own the chametz anymore. But if you don't own the chametz, how can you violate Lo Yirahev and Lo Yimatzei, which is contingent seemingly upon ownership? That's what Rabbi Lazar says. Asana causes Kilibrishu, so, but we just don't know what he meant. Did he mean that Yisurana is yours? Did he mean chametz Yisurana is yours? Did he mean you don't need bailus, you just need previous ownership that was never officially subject to vital? We're not sure. Depending on what we mean, that's what's so fascinating, that will determine whether or not we could apply this dialectic to other things, like what about taking initiative and buying chametz that you didn't own before Pesach? Does that come under the rubric of Rav Elazar? That's the argument between the Rambam and the Ramban. Right, we can really know what they're talking about now. The Rambam is going to say, what do you want from me? That's Rav Elazar. And the Ramban's going to say, no. Rav Elazar is if you completely owned chametz, right, and then the clock struck 12, right, it became Asa Vahana, you never did Bittal. So, how can you compare that to acquiring chametz from someone else on Pesach? That's not what Rav Elazar said. And the Rambam will say, that's not the case, but that's the legal principle. We don't distinguish between, if we take literally, Asana Kosov Kilbrishusa, we don't distinguish between Le'inyan the Isser as opposed to Le'inyan the Choshe Mishpat. Rambam will say, across the board, that's the special din. When the Torah said this, Bayer Vayimase, the Torah was allowing for general ownership of Yisurana, or at least ownership of chametz. That's the argument. Okay, let's continue. So then the Gemara says, "V'nivatli ba'arba, v'nivatli ba'chamesh." Let him do bittul before it becomes yisurana. So the Gemara says, "Kivi de'lav zman yisurahu, de'lav zman biurahu, de'lapasha v'lamivatli." We're worried that if it's not the actual Zman of Bir Chametz, that he won't bother to do the bitul. He won't be careful. That's what the Gemara suggests. Then the Gemara says, "V'nivatle b'sheis." But what about from 11 to 12? That's already time when people are osake in Bir Chametz. So why not say it's from 11 to 12? There can be a bitul. So the Gemara says, "Kivdi sure drabana nilave kidoraisa dami." Well, here we have again this idea that Yisurana drabana of chametz is compared to Yisurana doraisa, right? The lav birshuse kaima, the lo matzi mivato. In other words, it's not considered like it's in the rishus, and it can't do bittul. How do we know such a halacha that Yisurana drabana are treated like Yisurana doraisa? In respect to this matter, the Amarav Gidol Amarav Chia Bar Yosef Amarav Hamikadesh Mishay Shol Salamata Filu Bechite Kordanaisa Ein Choshesin LeKidushin. The same Brisa that the Gemara quotes later on in our sugya on Chafala from the base, namely, if you were to give Yisurah Anodra, if you gave Yisurah Anodra Brisa to a woman for Kiddushin, that certainly doesn't work. But what about Yisurah Nodra Banan? So the Gemara says, that's the din of Rabbi Yoh, that's the din of Chitei Kordanaisa, in Choshen LeKidushin. That's the Gemara. Now the Gemara here equated then two halachos on the Yisurah Nodra Banan issue. One, you cannot do bittul with chametz, which is also about Nodra Banan. Once it's also Nodra Banan, you can't do bittul. Number two, you can't use the Surah and the Chametz, which is also about Navad Rabbanan, you can't use it for Kesef Kiddush. Are those two things the same? Right? On the surface, not at all. What do you mean, not at all? The problem of Bittul, as the Gemara itself formulates it previously on Vavamud Beis, and again here, on the top of Zayin Amin Aleph, the problem of Bittul is the problem of Birshusei. is it in my possession? Am I a bar hachi to be mevatel this chametz? It's not mine, or it's not officially in my rishus. The Ksos thinks there's a difference between shalo and birshusa. Anyways, the problem of chametz or isuri ana drabanan or isuri ana in kiddushin, on the other hand, is a problem of birshusa. What? Seemingly, it's a value problem. It's a question of shovi. Right? You have to give a woman shavapruta. He gave her something that she can't use. So it's not shavapruta. So it's fascinating that the Gemara seems to equate a bailus problem, a bershuse problem, with a shovi problem. Now the truth is, if you look at the Ramban, just for a minute, in the Muchamos in the back, this is Gimel Amud Aleph in the Daf Yaris. My Tzura Sadaf is a little bit different in the back here, because they... Yeah, you see the Mechamos? It's Gimel Amud Aleph in the Daf Yaris. Gimel... Is it? Give a moment off and off our roof. Everybody have that? So it's, there's a very long piece, as you can see. I'm just interested in one line of the Ramban where he characterizes the problem of Shoz Draban and also the problem of Lav Birshusei. Just a second. I'll just have to read it to you, and it's second. Is it a paragraph of Hevi Odeya? Where is it?
10 lines to the bottom.
Okay, I just have a different surah for that. Kivan da surah banan alaha. You have that? La birshuso kaima. Kidrav gidol. Kidrav Gidol Hachika, Mar Kidrav Gidol, Kshamakadish, Visur, and also the brain, Ein Choshen the Kiddushin. Alma, Lav Birshusei Koi. Hachanami, Lav Birshusei Koi. Surabban Ale, Yafagav the Bashishis Choshen the Kiddushin. Shiny Kiddushin, Lav Kidravan, and Elemetchila Shem and Bishumzei. Forget about that for the moment. What Rabban did here was he characterized the problem of Nekadesh Bisuri Ana, right, Durabanan, as a problem of Birshuse, which is not obvious at all. Why did he do it? There's no Talmud, there's no Yishlomar. To equate, because he was bothered clearly by what we would bother us, which is the Gemara is talking about the inability to do Bitol. Bitol has nothing to do with Shovi. Bitol has to do with Bailus. So if the Gemara is saying, oh, how do we know that Isuri Ana Drabanan Ad Mevailus from Rav Gidol Amar Rav from Chitei Kudin Aisa, so Ramban thought it must be that the problem of being Mekadesh Isuri Ana is a problem of Bailus, not a problem of Shovi, or at least also a problem of Bailus. Now, the implications of that are, is it really true, in other words, is it true that you need bailus in order to be mekadesh? Well, obviously you can't be mekadesh with something that doesn't belong to you, but can you be mekadesh with something that doesn't belong to you? Meaning, you can't be mekadesh with something that belongs to someone else. But let's say you are responsible for bringing an object into the domain of the Isha. You're mahamer her with a shavapruta, but it doesn't come from you. what's the halacha then? So you mentioned before, you know, the idea of like gitov yada ba'in kiachad. So this is the way the Ritva, not everybody else interprets this, but this is the Ritva's interpretation of the Gemara in Kedushin, the second parak. The Gemara says, what if you're mekadesh begezel da'cheren? Meaning, let's say you stole an object. Reuven steals from Shimon, right? And he gives it to Rivka, right? So basically, what you have is what we call Yeush, presumably, meaning the Shimon, the owner of the Nignav or the Nigzal, right? The real owner of the object gives up hope. Doesn't think he's ever going to see his object again. That's Yeush. But we passed him generally that in order to not have to return a Be'en, you need Yeush and Shinui Rishus. So Yeush, and then Shinui Rishus, he hands it over, he transfers it to a third person's domain. So again, what happened? Reuven took an object from Shimon, and then he was Mekadesh, Leah, when I say Rivka, whoever it was, Rivka Leah, she went to, you know, Beis Yaakov. So Mekadesh Rivka Leah with the stolen object. So Rivka Leah gets to keep the object, right? Because that's Shina Rishus. Now, did Reuven, who did this Kiddushin, the Baal, right? Did he ever own the object? Right? This is the question. So the Ritva suggests, I mean, this is my question, how do you understand Yeush and Shina Rishus? Right, how do you understand that combination? But the Ritva at least says, basically, no. Reuven never owned the object. Because for him, there's no Shina Rishus. How did the object get acquired by Rivka Leah? Right? The answer is, B'vasachas. So that's an interesting case. Where Reuven, right, is responsible for the Isha receiving a pruta, which she gets to keep, even though it's not his pruta. That's one example. I'll give you another example. Rishonim asked this question. We're going to discuss it. If we don't get to it today, when we finish this topic up next week, the Rishonim asked the following following question. It seems from the Gemara later on, that if something is asur b'hana, you can be nenesh shelo kederach. It also seems, and it's obvious, that if somebody is a chol on the sukkah, right, he can certainly be nenesh from yisurei hana. Right, but kol mesrapin, the Gemara says later on daf chafei amud aleph. Then the Gemara goes on and says, right, aside from the what we call the big three, right, therapy is permitted if that's the only way to do it. Right, if it's sakhanas nefashos, the Gemara says, you can be nisrape. So the question is this: let's say you have Yisuri Ana, and he wants to be Mekadesh with Yisuri Ana. And she, the wife is or the would be wife, is a chola masuka. So he, who's healthy, right? Baruch Hashem, he's healthy. So he is not giving anything, because for him it's also b'hana. But he's giving her something which is mutar b'hana. Right, so this is again a little discussion of the Ritva. We'll read it soon, and a big discussion of the Mishnah Melech. Mishnah Melech discusses a whole bunch of these cases in Perek Hey, Hilchos Ishus Halacha Aleph. He's a massive Mishnah Melech where he talks about all these kind of cases where he keeps trying to isolate the Nesina Sabal from the Kabbalah Saisha. In both directions, that's the opposite case too. But say he's a Chol Mesukan, so for him the object is worth something. She's Bria, she's healthy. So he gives her something that is not a pruta for her, but it is a pruta for him. Right? Do we care about Nesina or Kabbalah? Is there a bit of bailus? For example, when Gemara says, if he says, you know, Adabra Alayach Leshulta, I'll put a good word in for you. Right? So the Gemara says, that's Kiddushin. That's Kiddushin Na'idei Hanah. How do we look at that? Do we say, well, that's a commodity, meaning I'm using my contacts, I'm using my influence. So it comes from me, I'm giving you, right, something which is worth probably much more than a Shrava Pruta, namely a good word, influence, peddling, you know, to the right to person. So for sure, I'm responsible for her receiving Hana Shrava Pruta. But is it also fair to say that it's my Hana, that it's my Shrava Pruta that I'm giving? That's an interesting philosophical and halachic question, right? My influence is mine, or just something that I can transfer, you know, or give to someone else, but it's not something you would concretely define as mine. Or let's talk about, you know, that there's goods and there's services and there's entertainment, right? You know, record lefanai. You know, I do some sort of an entertainment. You know, people pay for entertainment. How do we look at entertainment? Right? There's no question that it's Shrava Pruta if it's good entertainment. Right. But is it something that you would say, oh, it's like, you know, it's Shrava Pruta that I owned, it was in my bank account, and I'm transferring it to her? Or is it something, it's a kind of a good services, whatever you want to call it, I don't own it, right, but I can be responsible for someone else receiving it. So this is a big issue. What I'm saying is that the Ramban here is taking a stand. What forces Ramban into the stand? Unquestionably, the equation in the Gemara between Bittul and Mekadesh Bechite Kordnaisa. But the stand that he's taking is an important one, which is that Kiddushin requires that the Pruta come from the Bailim, that it be Dirshusei. Maram Chalava answers the question in a different way. Again, it's also Novim Tomar and Novi Shlomar, but he just says the following line, Maram Chalava. He says, when the Gemara equates, right, Bittul and Kiddushin, because the Gemara apparently is very impressed with the following extra line of the Gemara. He doesn't say so. I'm saying so. Look here again in Bainam and Aleph. The Gemara says, the Nivakle B'sheis, right, the top words on Zayin Menaleh, the Gemara says, Kivan di Isura Durabanan Ilavei Kidoraisa Dami Velabrishusei Kaima Velamatzi Mevato. There are two words that are superfluous. Not superfluous, but they're possibly superfluous. The words Kidoraisa Dami. Right? So the Ram Chalava doesn't say Bim Tomar Ve Shlomar, but what he does say is that the Gemara here is equating, right, the case of Kiddushin and the case of Bittul, right? The common denominator between them is whether we treat the Yisra Hana Drabanan of Chametz B'Shashishis like Yisra Hana Daraisa or not. In other words, the question here isn't what's the status of Yisra Hana Drabanan. Because then I could say, oh, it depends on L'inyan Ma, L'inyan Bailas, L'inyan Shovi, right? What's the subject matter? And in theory, I might be able to say, Yisra Hana Drabanan is like this, has this property, that characteristic, right, and something else, but it's not necessarily b'chad machta. What impressed the Maram Chalava clearly was this line in the Gemara, where the Gemara said, Kidoraisa Dami. Ah, if the question is not what is the status of Yisra Hana Drabanan of Chametz, but is the Yisra Hana Drabanan of Chametz identical with the Daraisa, so then it doesn't matter to us whether the applications are Birshusei or Shovi. The important thing is, if you think it's all or nothing, either it's Kidaraisa or it's Lav Kidaraisa, then whatever the Daraisa consequences are, and in this case they happen to be multiple, Birshusei, Shovi, it doesn't make a difference. That's the Maram Chalav. I think there's a third possibility in the direction of the Ram Chalava, but not zeroing in technically on the relationship between Yisra and Adrabanan of Chametz and Yisra and Adaraisa, as much as the relationship between these two ideas. Because instead of what the Ramban did, which was say, oh, if the Gemara is comparing Bittel and Kiddushin, it must be because it's one problem. So therefore, Kiddushin must be a Rishus problem. Maybe there's another way to get out of the problem without going as far as the Maram Chalav. That is to say, does this violent question of Isur Hanah have anything to do with the Shovi question of Isur Hanah? So let's Mashal Amad Avadova. Let me give you an example. We mentioned before, we talked about the Dalad Minim. So there's an equally famous Rashi in Sukkah. Rashi in Sukkah says, seems to say, says that if something is worth less than a pruta, then it's not lochem. That's not obvious at all, right? And not everybody agrees with that Rashi. Indeed, there are Rashis in other places that don't seem to accept that view. Meaning, if something falls beneath the threshold of shem mamon and shava pruta, right, then you can't own it. There's no isa gezel or gneva. That's quite remarkable. There's no din of lochem. There's a famous Milchas Chinuch, right? The Milchas Chinuch. I always like to say that the Milchas Chinuch. Again, we're in Queens here, so to say something about Kew Garden Hills as well. I always like to say the Milchas Chinuch. Obviously, never walked on Main Street. In the days leading up to Sukkot. Okay. Well, what do I mean? The Milchas Chinuch says this Rashi is certainly completely wrong. What does Rashi say? That if something is less than a pruta, there's no concept of bailus and lachem. So the Milchas Chinuch says, how would anybody ever fulfill the mitzvah of dalad minim? Aravos are certainly worth less than a pruta. Right? So you'd never have lachem. Like he just says it like, that's what I say. But okay. So the Arabas have obviously gone up since the time of the Merkas Chinuch. And that's a topic in its own right. Anyways, the point is as follows. What does Rashi about? What does value have to do with ownership? The answer is, and that's a bigger Kiddush. A lot of people don't accept the Rashi. Rashi is a case, like we talked before, you mentioned Hefker. And then I was saying, well, Hefker, Yisur and Noah are different, but they overlap. Right. So too, less than a pruta and Yisur and Noah overlap. But they're not the same. Like, less than a pruta is a quantitative, it fell beneath the threshold. It could be a qualitative thing too, meaning it's not shei mamon. But the point is, it's because of that sufficient quantity, therefore it ends up without a certain threshold of quality. But it's a question of kamus, right? Yisurei Anah has a legal status. For better or for worse, they're different. But they overlap. In both cases, you might say, there's a problem of shavapruta. Right? If you take the less than a pruta to a store, you're not going to be able to get a pruta from it. And if you take the Yisurei Anah to a store, you're not allowed to use it, so you can't get a pruta from it. The point is that at least the Rashi is a little bit of a bigger Kiddush. Rashi, even if it's a technicality, it just doesn't happen to be enough, right, that's valued as a pruta. I think the idea of Rashi is ownership isn't just a technical, reality. Ownership is a legal concept. In order to have ownership, you have to have legal fare. You have to have a commodity that has a certain legal stature and therefore status. There are things that are not nitan, they're not given to ownership. If something is less than a proof, it's not given to ownership because it doesn't have legal, status and stature. So the idea here, and that, I think, is the sort of Rashi. But even if you don't think Rashi's right about the quantitative aspect of it, one certainly might say, if you have an object, and al-pidin, it's prohibited to be used, right? So by definition, it doesn't have a shame mamon. Things without a shame mamon don't have bailus either. Bailus is a concept that requires shame mamon. So what the Gemara is telling us is not that kiddushin depends on bailus, and not that the common denominator between bailus and shovi, right, is whether or not the surah and drabanan is exactly like a daraisa maram chalam. What the Gemara is really telling us is, these two dinim of Isurei Anah, these two aspects, are two sides of the same coin. If something doesn't have shovi, then it's Eina Bershuso. If it's Eina Bershuso, it's because it doesn't have shovi. It goes back to what you said before. Is this just an Isur Gavra, something that you have limitations? So if you have this object, you know, from a Chafta point of view, it's glittering, it's functional. You know, both aesthetically and functionally, you know, it's worth way more than a fruta. The Torah swooped in, the Torah said, no, you can't use it. So one way to look at it is, the Torah has imposed practical restrictions. But the object is an object of value. You just can't realize that value. Or no. When you talk about Isurei Anah, we're talking about the object, Al Pidin, being stripped of its value. Now, it could be invisible sometimes. That's when we talk about things like, you know, has a chain or nikar, and other things, meaning you have to know, you know, that it's asur b'hana. But the reality, the halachic reality of something being asur b'hana, the way to look at it isn't just that, oh, the Torah superimposed artificially limitations. You can't do this, you can't do that. But rather, the Torah basically was mafkia, the shovi, was mafkia, the commodity status of this object. In which case, there's no bailus, there's no shovi. It's one and the same. Now, could you be mechalik between the Yisrael no Darabon and the Yisrael no Daraisa when it comes to this question of Yisrael Gavra, Yisrael Chafza, or this question of, you know, specifically shovi and bailus? You certainly could. You absolutely could. Okay, so let's go to question number two then, and that is, how is it possible for the Rabbanan, right, to say, Ein Choshen and Kiddusha? Can they really do that? So here, Rashi makes the suggestion that you made before about Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Look at Rashi here on Zayin Amar Aleph. Rashi says, Afilu b'chitei kur d'naisa, Hatzomchim Bahare Ararat, right? Koshim Heim Od, they're very, this is tough chametz. Okay, that's different than tough love or other things, but hard chametz, right? Tapilahachi, Ein Koshim Lekidushin, in Baal Amayim, even though they're Koshim, nonetheless, we're worried that there'll be nischametz. Yapagav, the Asi Yisra Hanas, chametz. Drabanan the Sheish, who mafke kiddushe Torah. This is now Rashi asking the question: how could it be that something that is only asur b'hana drabanan, and we say in choshen the kiddushe minat Torah she's married, minat Torah this isn't chametz yet. The shori eishes ish li'alma. We're being matir eishes ish l'shuk. On the tartzina the kamaduchdin, called the mekadesh adat the drabanan mekadesh. The Hefkebez and Hefker, the Hemithkiru Mamono. Wow. This is based on the principle of Kala Mekadesh Adat Adrabana Mekadesh, Hefkebez and Hefker, Abkin Rabbanu Lekidushimene, call it what you will. In other words, Rashi is saying, in Inochanami, this shouldn't really work, because on a Daraisa level, this is something which is filled with value. However, the Rabbanan, Koach, the Rabbanan, Kiddushin, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, to undermine a Din Daraisa. And that's a huge Kiddush because the Gemara does have this phenomenon in a few places, in the beginning of Ksuvis, in the fourth parak of Gittin, in a couple of places in Yevamos, another place in Gittin. But it seems very limited. As far as we know, it doesn't apply to Yisrael and Rabbanan. There's a general question in the Rishonim, whether the cases of the Gemara of Afkinu are the only cases, right? Or they're examples. Actually, Rashi himself, and this is Lushitasa, Rashi in Shabbos on Daf Kufman Beis suggests that the Namanus of an Eid Echad on Misa Sabal, if an Echad comes forward and says about a certain woman that her husband died, that's the only evidence we have. It's not a good case. So this is a big question in general. The Gemara says, Mishnah, the Gemara in Yibamos seems to say that we believe in Eid Echad about Misa Sabal. Why? Should require Shnayim Eidim, Dabar Sheberva. So the Gemara itself gives all sorts of answers, and the question is what they mean. Yishadayko Mitzvah, Chomoshech Marta Leha, Besofa, Milsa Davida, Ligluye, all sorts of explanations. Rashi in Shabbos says, oh, it's up to you about the Kiddush Shemimei. Dal Ramos. The Gemara seems to say, in Gittin, Mishan Gittin seems to say, that if you throw a get within Dal Ramos of the Isha, that she will be miscareshes. So, everybody, all the Rishonim ask, the Gemara Bava Metzia seems to say that the kinyan of Dalet Amos, that something is within Dalet Amos of where you are, that's like a chaser, midrabah. That's a midrabanan. Right? So, Shema, Asi, Litz, Nuye, because we're worried that people start fighting if an object is near them, right? So they each one will pounce on it, and it'll be a source of bonus contention. So they made this Dindrabanan that Dalet Amos has the status of Chatzar and Midrabanan. How can that work for Get? The Sabri Shalom say, well, Gittin is different. It says, Vinasim Biyada, it's not Din of Kinyan, it's Din Nesina. Fine. But there's a group of Rishonim who say, no, it's based on the Din of Afkin Arban and the Kinyan Shemine. It's a Din of Koach Biyad Chachamim. And call them a Kaddish, and that's the Drabban and the Kaddish, etc. So this is general view, and this Rashi is one example of it, that in Okanami, this is a Dindrabban, and it shouldn't have this Koach. However, here and there we find, and the question is, where we draw the line, we find this power that Chachamim have, right, to undermine Doraisas.
Well, what could fairness the children in that case?
In which case?
Like,
in general, you mean? If it turns out to be wrong, anyway.
No, so, it turns out, no, there's an Eid Echad.
Right.
So she's not married to him anymore.
Right. So the children are fine. I mean, children from another house, from another marriage going forward.
And that she was having the Kudeshes of Akinah.
And therefore?
Because but they had children.
And therefore?
So what's the status of the children?
Well, I mean, they're not Mamzerim either way. There's no Mamzerim. I mean that's the I mean essentially no it's a good question but that's essentially what the Gemara asks. But the Gemara says Tinach, and we don't even understand that part of the question. When the Gemara says about Afkinu, Rabbanu Kiddushim, the Gemara always asks Tinach the Kodesh Bekaspa, the Kodesh Bebia Michael and Amar. So Rabbanu says Shavu Rabbanu Bilosa Bilosnus. Now the question I always sort of ask is, and if it was a Kiddushim Bekaspa. And then there was a regular marital relationship that followed. You know, that isn't the problem of Bilasus. That's the question. But this is what I'm saying is that whatever the answer is, it's the same answer. But either way, there's no Mamzerus. If anything, the Rishonim asked the question the opposite way. Rishonim said, if you think that it's not only the cases in the Gemara, but you can apply more broadly the principle of Hafkin or Banu Kiddushimine, so why don't you use it to be Metaher Mamzerin? Every time you have a mamzer case, have the husband give his wife a get, you know, shalom b'faneha, or because you give his wife a get and be mavatol the get, give him the shliach to send it to her, and be mavatol the shlichus shalom b'fnei hashliach, which according to the Gemara in the Mishnah and then the Gemara in the fourth parak of Gittin, that's one of the Afkinu about the Kiddushim days. Why don't you use the mechanism of Afkinu to be Matar and Amzeir?
Hang on, move on,
so this is a very tricky thing. So the Ramban actually says, Halavailam Amzeirim Sheitaru. Yeah, it's a great idea. And then he goes on to explain, well, it's not so simple. The Bali Tosus reject it. They say, listen, if these things happen in the cases of the Gemara Mela, but to cynically manipulate the system, even with such a good purpose, is not acceptable. But this rears its head every 50 years or so. We understand the impulse. You just can't do it. If most people think you can't do it, that becomes you know, the impulse to try to be, you know, solving mamzerim problems is an act of chesed. When you persist, you know, irresponsibly, when the consensus rabbinic view is that you can't do it, then it's no longer chesed. Then it becomes avzarios, because it's misleading people. But that's a topic in its own right. But that's the issue of. So you ask me, well, what about the children? The children are not mamzerim. The children, we draw most of them up prayer that they were born out of wedlock. But born out of wedlock is not mamzerus in halakha. And on the contrary, there are people who suggest, I'm talking about giving you ironically, there are people who suggest, already from the time of the Bali Tulsis, to use afkinu to solve the problem of mamzerus. Right? In the other way, in other words, she was mizana with somebody, and that produced, when she's married, and that produces a child from somebody other than her husband, so why not be okir her kedushim with her husband, the mafreya, for the sake of being matahir the child. That's the issue. Anyways, this is Rashi. Look at the, before we stop, let's see the other perspective. This is very, very important. Look at the local ritva first. It's on page 2. Everybody have it? Could you share with us on the second part from Zion and Aleph? Omer Abgino Morav on the Kaddish of Shei Shos on the Malah Fita B'chitei Afil B'chitei Kurz Naisa Hanachon Kepir Shabenu Tam. We'll get back to that later. B'chitei Kurz Naisa Kimut on Kocha Harviki Nukshu Drabon Hain Rai Demaisi Demali Chomet Shabonon B'shal Saraisa or Chomet Saraisa B'shal Shabonon. Fine, good. Now comes what I want. The agav urcha shaminan shemakadosh b'yitzur anod rabbanon and choshen the kiddush of klal afil lahachmir. From this gemara, you see that being makadosh b'yitzur anod rabbanon is insignificant completely, even though the yitzur anod is only rabbanon. The lo mishum time of the kol mekadesh adat and rabbanon mekadesh, kid the kasav harav balahitur. What we have in our Rashi, somebody didn't have one in Rashi, but I guess so. He's quoting it as a balahitur. I'm dismissing the idea that this is based on afkinu. Ela shekach dino mina Torah, the shav pruta amar achmana veleka. Wow, a different idea. What's this idea? Sometimes we take the perspective of, oh, this is a Drabbanan realm, this is a Daraisa realm, right? Other times, the reality of a Din Drabbanan has impact Daraisa. An example of this, according to the Ritva, is Mekadesh Misura no Drabbanan. Meaning, sometimes the category isn't, I'll say it my way, isn't a formal category, but a pragmatic category. In other words, I give the Isha Yisurei Anod Rabbanan. She goes down to the grocery store and she can't do anything with it. Does it matter why she can't do anything with it or just that she can't do anything with it? The reality is she cannot extract a pruta from what I gave her. Lamaisa, in practical terms, I didn't give her a pruta because she can't use it. She can't use it only with Rabbanan. That's interesting. But the Ritva says, not relevant. Contrast that to the following case, says the Ritva. This is an important yesod. The Shava Pruta, Rachman of Aleka, has nothing to do with Kol Mekadosh Adat Rabbanan. The Kivin Shekein, listen to this. And he says this in Kiddushin too. We'll see it next week when we finish up. Kivin Shekein, on the Kadesh, the Psule, Eidos, the Rabbanan, Choshashin, the Kiddush of the Chomer, Kiddin Torah. Let's say you have the following other case. Another drabbanon that undermines, seemingly tries to undermine the daraisa. Our case is a drabbanon suriana, and what's its impact on the kiddushin daraisa, right? But let's take another case. You have psule edus, edus drabbanon. You have to be mekadosh b'shnei shnayim edim. Let's say the edim are ksheirim in Torah and psulim drabbanon. The gamblers, mesachim b'kuvia. Right, it's only possible with Rabbanan. Is the Kiddushin Chal Min HaTorah? So the Ritva says yes. Right? Because you need a get. Because Min HaTorah, they're proper Edim. Why? Because that depends on their formal status. The fact is that you're still not giving her something which she can use. That depends on the efficiency or pragmatic benefits that she gets from it. That's exactly what the Ra'ah, quoted by the Ritva, says. We'll try to follow through with this next week and then talk about the Surah Hanad Daraisa in these terms, and then whether or not there are different levels of Drabanans to finish off
what is this topic.